We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Tonight I want to talk about dreaming like a drunk. Dreaming like a drunk. That's right, I said it. What do I mean by that? Well, I'll get there, okay? I just want you to sit with that title for a minute so you can be wondering what the heck I'm going to talk about. With God, now is the time to dream big and to act big and to plan big. Now is the time that you are with the Lord making and executing plans and purposes and goals in your life. Now is the time to be doing that. And that means going to God for the vision for your life. Going to God for the plans, for the vision, for the dreams of your life. You'll have things on the inside of you even right now. You'll have things that you feel pulled to, that you feel called to. You'll have desires of your heart. What God wants to do is put the magnifying glass on that and expand it and show you, this is what I have for you, my child. Because it is so much bigger than you can imagine. I will say that when I first started following the Lord, I had a little idea of what I could do for him. I had an inkling of an idea of some of the things I could accomplish for him. And in the few years following, I did not think that I would be standing here at this moment. God is the God of greater vision, of greater plans, of greater execution when you follow him. And if anything, I'm just going to tell you, the vision just increases and increases. Because you begin to see it greater and more clearly. First, you're just given a piece. You're given a little piece of it and says, okay, handle this, run with this. But the further you go along with God, the greater you start to see the scope, the depth, the height of his vision, of his plan. And I always want to encourage you that whatever you're thinking right now that God has planned for you, drop that to the ground. Take something and multiply it by 10, multiply it by 100, because you're still not even going to be able to come close to what God has for you and the power that he has available for you. If you truly began to tap into the power that God had for you, there would be no saying what you could or could not accomplish, because with God, all things are possible. For the human being that says, I will take the word of God at face value, I will take God at his word, and I will act upon the word and see it come to fruition, for that human being, there is no limit and there is no stopping point to how far they can go before they come to see him face to face, before either he returns or you go see him first. It's untold what you can do. You have pastors that preach passionately the faith of God and seeing big things. And you've seen the beginning of this place and you're seeing the growth of this place, and it's nothing yet. Evangelist Yana's been here, and she'll tell you that when she started a few years ago, from where she started to where she is now, it's blown up. Wherever you're at right now is the lowest point you will be at in your entire life, in Jesus' name. The least you have seen now is the least you will ever see. There is only greater ahead. There is only an increase of the vision. There is only an increase of the task. And there is only an increase of the power with which you are going to have to use to see it accomplished. God is calling you higher. God is calling you deeper. He's calling you. Because a heavenly vision is never small. And it's that religious mentality that for years has permeated the church. And we've been happy with it because it sounded good and it sounded right. That saying that you probably might have heard at some point where you say, as long as you're faithful in whatever God's called you to, then you'll be amongst the greatest in heaven, whether or not you preach to millions or if God has just called you to sweep the floors. What kind of person's been called to sweep the floors for 30 or 40 years? I mean, come on, it sounds good, it sounds religious, it sounds kind of humble, doesn't it? Oh, the little old lady who just cleans this and does this, and that guy who puts this chair there and that does that, they do that for 40 or 50 years, and boom, they have as much fruit as the guy that's been going after souls and winning millions. It sounds good until you realize that God is the God of the increase. So if you are where you are, if you in 40 years from now are in the same place that you are today, something went wrong. And nothing went wrong with God because nothing is wrong with God. Amen. Something went wrong with your belief. Something went wrong with your pursuit. And we will not see that. We're here to encourage you. Again, there is only great things ahead. This day, tomorrow, next week. Don't put it off into the future where it's untouchable. The things that God has for you, He will give you the plans, He will give you the steps, He will give you the execution on how you can see it. He's not gonna give you something where you say, well, just kind of float around and do this and do that, and maybe in 10 years you'll see some of this. No, He's an incredibly practical God. You just have to go to Him as such. You have to go to Him and say, okay, Lord, this is what you're telling me. Let's do it now. What does the word say? What do you say? Amen?
Amen.
In the book of John, chapter 16, and I'm going to be jumping around some chapters, so keep up if you will, or relax if you will. No, keep up, please. John 16, verse 24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And yes, you've been hearing a lot about the Passion Translation, so I'm going to read it to you in that one too. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking. And you can be sure that you will receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. People think small. I don't know why, especially in the church, people have a mentality of thinking small. People out in the world, there are so many people thinking big, and they have visions for how the world's going to change and how they're going to accomplish that. But in the church, it's like, well, let me just stay in my box and stay in my corner. The church, stay humble. Little old you. Remember, the church isn't just a building, it's the body. And you are there to build the church, build the body, which means that you can go out into all the corners of the earth and see increase and growth in the area into which you have been called by the Lord. If you're a pastor, you will pastor a church and you'll have a mega church by the end of it. If you're an evangelist, you'll go to the edges of the earth. And if you want to go to all 200-something odd countries, you'll make it to them. If you're an apostle, you'll apostle. If you're a prophet, you'll prof. No, I'm kidding. People tend to think small. But here's the thing. The second you add God, the second you add His presence, the second you add the Holy Spirit, something happens. There is an increase. There is a multiplication. Because with that mind of Christ, you cannot think small. You can't. You cannot. Immediately your plans start to reach out to, how do I reach people? How do I attack this area? How do I grow? It's no small with God. Oh, God is good, amen. Are you ready tonight? Are you here tonight?
Yes.
I hope you're here tonight. I hope you're ready tonight. Don't worry about me. Every time I come here, it's very hot and I sweat. Don't worry about me. I'm a sweaty preacher, just in the head, but that's okay. God was going to bring to your vision increase and multiplication. Again, I tell people, if you have no vision right now, if you don't have an idea or an inkling, then get hungry, get thirsty, because there is no reason why the Lord cannot speak to you this very night. There is no reason. There is no reason that you cannot encounter God tonight so that you come away and say, I know why I was put here on this earth. Because all it takes is one encounter with God to change everything. All it takes is one encounter with God to flip you upside down, shake you side to side, and have it so that you will never be the same again. He's too big. He's too good. He's too good. He's too much. He's more. He's more, right? He's more. So be full and dream big. Because one of the hindrances to a God-given vision is being satisfied by what the world has to offer. And I'm here to say that there are things that will hinder you. There are things that will stop you along the way if you allow them to. And one of the greatest things is if you say that you want God, but then you can also be satisfied by what the world has to offer, you will always hit a cap. You will always get so far, but not far enough. If you like to be intoxicated by what the world has to offer, if you like to drink, if you like to party, if you like to do drugs, if you like to go out there and act like the world, but then come into the church and have your holy moment, well, you'll have your holy moment in the church building. You'll feel the presence of God. You'll feel a call to repentance. You'll repent. You'll probably cry or you'll laugh. God will touch you. Then you'll go out into the world and repeat the cycle. And at the end of your life, if you go that way, you'll have lived a life where you knew about God, but you never tapped into him because you always kept him at a distance. You have to say with definitive authority that you are through with the world and what the world has to offer you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they have nothing to offer you. We talk about dreaming big and we talk about you can believe God for increase in this. Well, you can. We're not talking about the riches of the world. We're not talking about you make money so you can just go live crazy and do whatever you want and have nothing to do with the Lord anymore. You see that in churches from time to time. People come into a church, they came in there busted. They came in there just after something happened and they need help. So they come to the church because the church is a place for help. They come in there, they get their lives right, they get cleaned up. And then they start to increase. And the Lord brings them increase. And they'll be there hallelujah-ing and amening. And then sometimes you see them disappear after a short time. Because increase came, but now they got to get to work and they can't worry about some of this church stuff. No, everything is rooted in Christ. Whatever isn't rooted in Christ in you will fall away and will crumble. Whatever is not rooted in Christ will be shaken when anything comes at your life. Whatever is founded on the rock is untouchable. So you have to make sure that your life and your heart is founded and rooted in Christ and on Christ so that no matter what happens, you are immovable. You are untouchable. God wants to increase you. He wants to put so much into your hand, you can't even contain it. And you won't. You'll keep giving, keep blessing, and in that more will come in. It's an endless cycle. But God has to know he has your heart. In the book of Ephesians, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, for that is reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit." Be not drunk with wine, for that is reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. In fact, the better translation there is, be ye being filled. It's not just a one-time thing, this Holy Ghost encounter, this presence of God. It's not a one-time and then I'm done, thank you thing. It is a continual infilling of his presence. You fill yourself with the word and you fill yourself with his presence. You get in his word and you get in the presence of God. Because there is a vision that only comes through an encounter with the Holy Spirit. There is increase that only comes when you spend time in God's presence and he is able to show you things. Let's break it down real simple now. Let's make it so simple that no one can misunderstand it. You become like those you spend your time with. If you spend more time with God, guess who you become more like? Guess who you begin to think more like? Guess who you begin to act more like? It is very obvious who everybody spends their time with. All you have to do is listen to them and watch them. If you have that religious little thinking, and I'm just a humble little old me, you can tell that you don't spend a lot of time with God, you spend a lot of time around God, near God, with other people who think small and do nothing, because it's a very comfortable place to be. It's very comfortable to sit in a place and say, God is great, and I kind of suck. Amen. Amen. It's very comfortable. It's very comfortable to be in a place where you see others moving and you can act like you're a part of it because you sit around it. It's very comfortable to be around people who are on fire. Just be around them. It's very comfortable to be around people who are on fire, but you don't have to get on fire for God because you just get to feel the warmth coming off of them. It's like a bum standing around a canister, just, you know, warm the hens. And that's a definition of lukewarm. That is a definition of lukewarm when you want to be near the fire, but not in the fire. When you want to be near God, but not have him in you and you in him, that is lukewarm. And those are the people that will have so many promises and prophecies and all kinds of things on the inside of them. They'll speak about it every so often. Oh, I remember when the Lord gave me this idea. But they'll never see it come to fruition. Well, that's not for you. You have been called to bear fruit and much abundant fruit. And now, eternal fruit starts now. Eternal fruit is for today. Amen?
Amen.
People think eternal fruit. It's like, well, one day in eternity. No, no, no. What you do now matters for eternity. What the Lord speaks to you now is important for eternity. Go with me to the book of Psalms. We'll go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the captives of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. They said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our captives, O Lord, as the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who go forth and weep, he who goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed to sow, shall come home again with rejoicing, bringing his grain sheaves with him. I love this scripture. We were like those who dream. We were like those who, with God-given vision, we were like those who saw the hand of the Lord. We were like those who saw captives unchained. We were like those who saw the broken healed. We were like those who saw the blind restored sight. God has the greatest and biggest dreams. And God has a life for you that at the end of it, you can say, we were like those who dreamed. Your life, by the end, can look like we were those who dreamed, not those who had a nightmare. You don't need any more nightmares. You've had enough to last a lifetime. And you have authority over your life. Things may fly at you, attacks may come from the side, but you have within you the authority and the power to swat every single little attack of the devil and to attack him back. So many people are in defense mode. God has given you attack mode. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have to just spend your entire life with a shield behind it saying, well, I hope I don't get hit today. No, you have been given the power in which to say, I'm going to do damage today. You have the power in which you do when you wake up to say, Lord, we are going to kick the devil in the teeth today. Amen? Because you do not have to be afraid of the devil. That is religious thinking too. Oh, well, even Michael the angel wouldn't rally an accusation against the devil. You're not an angel. I know it's confusing when I look this way and you think, well, he looks like one. We are humans. We have been made in the image of Christ. And we have an authority now in which to deal with that enemy. And he is already defeated. The only problem you are going to have with the devil is the ignorance you walk in toward him. If you think he has a place to attack you, and if you allow him into your life, then yes, he can wipe the floor with you. Because he is like a roaring lion. And if you heard a lion roaring near you, you might feel a little intimidated, possibly. But when you know it's just the devil who's acting that way, you can say no. You can say, well, it's time to take that sword of the Spirit. It's time to take the gospel. It's time to take everything and the power within me that has been placed there by the Holy Spirit and whoop him upside down. You can be like those who dream. And I'm here to talk to you tonight about a drunk dream. Like I said, the title that you all laughed at because you said, what's that about? You know, drinkers dream. Drinkers dream. And right now, I'm going to relate some practical things to you right now, but I'm going to show you in the spiritual. Because I'm not talking about, of course, we have said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a Holy Ghost that you are to drink of and to be intoxicated by. Daily. Daily. You need to walk in his presence so that the world cannot touch you. And the drunk act a very specific way. So I'm going to show you the way you're supposed to dream. Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to know how the drunk dream? Okay, good. Most of you. Most of you. Just remember, the word says that where there is no clear vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. And in the book of Acts, you can see what drunk people can accomplish. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 13, we'll start there. But others poked fun at him, and Peter is just, he's about to get up because the Holy Spirit has moved. Suddenly there was a sound like from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and a flame sat upon each of the disciples. And they went out preaching the gospel, and they went out speaking in tongues. And right now the people say, verse 13, others poked fun at them saying, they're just drunk on new wine. Peter stood up with the 11 apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, my fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. You need clearly to understand what's happening here. These people are not drunk like you think they are, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is the fulfillment of what was prophesied through the prophet Joel, for God says, this is what I will do in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on everyone and cause your sons and daughters to prophesy, your young men to see visions, and your old men will experience dreams from God. We are in the culmination of the end of days. 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost began the beginning of the end days. If 2,000 years ago began the beginning of the end days, guess how closer we are to the end now? That's right, mathematicians, we are 2,000 years closer. What does that mean? It means Jesus is coming real soon. I love those t-shirts that say, Jesus is coming, act busy. You ever seen that t-shirt? Jesus is coming. Act busy. No. Jesus is coming. Get busy. He's coming back for a spotless bride. He's coming back. And Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? Will I find faith? What does that mean? Not will I find people saying I believe in you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance. It can be touched. It can be seen. Jesus is coming back for a church who is actively acting out the works of Christ. That was a tongue twister right there. Jesus is coming back for the people who are at work. He's coming back and he wants to see people with faith who are moving and shaking things for him. Will I find faith? What a question. So that question goes to you. When Jesus returns, will he find you in faith? Will he find you actively about your call? Will he find you actively in the fields, attacking the enemy and bringing lost souls in? Will that be you? When the Holy Spirit comes on you and when you encounter God, you do act differently. I'm not saying you go around acting like a goofball, but when you are in the middle of an encounter with God, yeah, there will be signs where not everything is exactly as normal, right? I'm sure all of you, or most of you, have had an encounter with God by this point where you come to realize when God touches you, it's not business as usual. People don't usually sit in chairs weeping because they're happy. People don't usually sit in chairs and have joy uncontrollable coming out of them and they have not lost their minds entirely. You know what I'm saying? Usually for that kind of things, you need to go to a mental institution. But no, when God touches you, there is a change. You have to spend time in his presence because the more time you spend with him, the more you become like him. And in that state of being drunk in the Holy Ghost, you are able to dream a big dream. You are able to throw all limitations aside. You don't care what is possible and what is not possible in that place. That's why you have to get to that place. That's why you have to stay in that place. Because the things that God will tell you in that place cannot be accomplished by people who have questions like, but that doesn't seem like it could happen. I'm not sure, Lord. Can we even do this? He needs people that when he speaks, they are so in tune with his spirit that they say, yep, got it. And that comes through people in his presence. I'm not the biggest amen preacher. I don't ever want to have everyone yelling amen every 2 minutes. But God's touching people right now. Let me tell you how drunk people act. And let me tell you how you'll be when you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Drunk people are fearless. They don't understand what's dangerous. They don't understand what is stupid. So they will do things where it's like, oh no, you can't do that. You really shouldn't do that right now. You really shouldn't do that right now. I have stories. I won't share them. I never got drunk when I was a young one. But I had plenty of friends who did. I had brothers and sisters in the world who did all kinds of crazy things. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you are drunk in the Holy Ghost, you have no care, no worry, no fear, no regard for anything, no care about any man, what they might say doesn't matter. Just like in the same way, drunk people are fearless. You could say they're idiots. Well, you know what? I'd rather have my I'd rather be a fool for Christ than amongst the wisest of the wise men. And when you start walking and moving for God, you will sometimes seem like a fool until you pull it off. When you're in the middle of a big dream and a big vision, you will oftentimes look like a complete idiot until it happens. Because everyone will be saying, that's not possible, you shouldn't do that. You didn't hear that from God. God's not behind you. And then it happens. And then everybody says, oh yes, we could see that coming. It's amazing how intelligent everybody is in reverse. Everybody's a genius in reverse. Drunk people are fearless. Drunk people don't feel pain like regular people do. Drunk people do not feel pain like other people do. You can attack them, and it's almost going to be a laugh or a shrug. When you are under the influence of the Holy Ghost, things might start happening around you. You won't even take notice. Because the Word of God says that when you have your hope and trust in the Lord God, that dry times may come, the heat may come, but that you as a tree planted by the rivers of water, you won't even take notice of the heat. You won't even notice any of the situations around you. You will just continue to produce fruit. That's the kind of attitude that you get under the influence of God. That's the kind of attitude that you maintain and develop as a character trait in the presence of God. You'll either be the kind of person that talks about all the attacks that have been happening, or you'll just completely shrug them off and you'll say, well, let me tell you what happened this week. Let me tell you where the Lord led me. Let me tell you what we got up to. Or again, you can be the person where you feel every bruise, every touch, every slight, not just from the devil, but from people. Drunk people tell the truth. In the presence of God, you don't care about the regard for feelings of what the people might think. So you are willing to just speak boldly the word and the message that God has placed in your heart. This one time in Albania, I was preaching at two different parts of the country on the same day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So I preached in the morning, then we had to get into a car and drive across part of the country to this other part. So I spent a lot of time with this one guy who was driving me. The morning service had been good, then we got into a tiny little car, which is always comical for me. And it was a very hot day, much hotter than today. It was like in the hundreds in Albania, in a car with no AC. We're driving there, and he's telling me about this next church we're going to. And he tells me, okay, just so you know, I know what you preached this morning. That was great and everything. But this next church we're going to, they're full-on Baptist. They're fully Baptist. So I don't even know how I ended up in this church. But they said, that message might not go over too well. So whatever you're thinking of preaching, you might just want to consider that. So, of course, that only makes me happy. Because when I hear that kind of thing, I just get that excitement of, well, let's have some fun today, amen? Well, this day is going to be revival or a riot. They're either going to love us or they're going to kick us out, but either way, let's have some fun. When I got to the church, the pastor immediately approached me and said, so what are you preaching? What's the message on? I was like, well, sir, it could go any number of like 10 ways right now. He was like, no. What scripture are you using? What scripture are you standing on? I kind of batted him away three or four times. And, you know, I went to the green room and stuff. He just kept coming back. What are you preaching on? So eventually I just said, you know what, sir? I'm going to preach from Revelation chapter 3 today. We're going to talk about Revelation chapter 3. It's going to talk about hot and cold and the churches in the end time. The lukewarm church. I just said, Revelation chapter 3. He was like, okay. He probably didn't know what that meant. It could be anything. What are you preaching on? Well, I'm going to preach on the Good Samaritan today, sir. How does that sound? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, it's good. It's good. Praise God. And I knew that it was a room full of about 80 elderly people and about 20 young people, and the elderly people were just giving me daggers. So I was like, I turned to the guy with me and I was like, okay, well, you know what? We're going to preach. I'm going to do the altar call. I don't think we're going to get invited to the back room, so let's just immediately take off. Preached, did an altar call. All the youth came forward. Some of the elderly looked interested, but the rest, again, I was on thin ice. But I preached, gave an altar call as quickly as I could, got the youth up there, laid hands on them. The Spirit of God started to move, and then we took off because the pastor was about to kick us out. You cannot care what people are going to think about you. And in the presence of God, you become impervious to that. Because it doesn't matter what people think about you. Ultimately, it matters what does God think about you. What does God think about you? He thinks the world of you. He sees you as a completed product. He sees you as the finished version. So he just sees perfection. You're working that out here, I understand that. But he sees a vessel ready to be used. So the drunk, they tell the truth. The drunk, they're bold. Just like Peter when he stood up and said, no, everybody, you don't get it. We're not drunk. It's 9 a.m. What's wrong with you? This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he gave the Pentecost message. He had just completely screwed up and denounced Christ and had a time of doubt. And he was probably feeling, for a little while, probably not very good. The Holy Ghost came, and everything on the inside of him came out. He opened his mouth, and the message was there. There is more inside you now than you realize. A lot of people think, well, I need to do this. How can I open my mouth? How can I open my mouth? I haven't, gone to seminary. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. The place you're at now, you can open your mouth, and God can fill it and use you to the degree which you allow him to. You just have to be bold. You just have to be bold. You can be so bold that you go to a college campus and they think you're up to no good. I'll just leave it at that. Drunk people give big. I'm not sure if you've ever seen a drunk person. They are incredibly generous. They are incredibly generous. My brother and I, we like to, we'll get each other stuff. We have kind of a policy in my family for the most part. I'm always traveling. I barely see them all most of the time. We kind of have a rule. Listen, I love you. When we see each other, we see each other. But birthdays and Christmas and stuff, don't get me anything. I won't get you anything. We love you. I love you. Just don't worry about it. We've had this kind of thing. I like to break that a lot, but I'm still saying we kind of have this thing. My brother is not the most generous guy, but when my brother goes out, and my brother goes to the bars, he comes back with nothing every time. Because when you are drunk, you become the most generous man in the room. You can leave, you can go out Scrooge, you come back Elon Musk. When the presence of God invades your heart and the Holy Ghost is there and you're having an encounter with God, you don't care about the material possessions. They mean nothing. There's been times when the presence of God hits me. And when the presence of God hits me, all of a sudden somebody comes up to me and just puts a whole wad of cash in my hand. In churches and different places. And the second it touches my hand, immediately it's like, no, that's for the offering right now. And you could never be happier to give. Because you know it doesn't matter. When you are obedient, God's going to bring the more. But the drunk, they give big. They give big. That's why you have to stay drunk in the Holy Ghost, so you don't back off of your giving. You can start strong, and then you don't think you're seeing things you want to, so you start to retreat, thinking, well, it wasn't even really worth. No. You keep hammering, because the word is like a hammer. If there's any resistance in any area of your life, you apply the word to that area, and you hammer until it breaks. The drunk will fight any opponent. Doesn't matter the size of the person, doesn't matter who they are, the drunk will attack anybody. Because they feel 1,000 feet tall. Doesn't matter if you're David and there's a Goliath out there. When you're under the power of the Holy Ghost, everything looks small. Every opponent looks just like somebody who's ready to be beat. That's all you can see. That's all you can see. Any mountain standing in your way, in that place, you say, well, that has to be removed. You speak to it, and it goes. The drunk, they don't know any limitations. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to lose all of your limitations. Every ceiling gets removed. Remember what I said at the beginning? The lowest point, or the highest point for you, becomes the lowest point. Let's come out here, Andy. I'm just going to speak this over your family right now, okay? Let's pray for you. Every ceiling in your life is about to become the new floor. Every height and highest height that you've reached is about to be the lowest level for you and your family. In Jesus' name. Filled. Filled. You are limitless in his anointing. You have to stay in that place, because when you remove yourself from that place, you begin to see the limitations. You begin to see, oh, well, I'm just this. I can only accomplish so much. No, with God, all things are possible. It can't just be something you speak. It has to be something you begin to walk in. And you have to speak it, but you have to start walking in it too. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, you become a student of his word and you become a student of the Spirit of God. Every day closer to him. If the love of God truly has the highest heights, the lowest depths, and the widest widths, that means that you have barely begun to even experience everything that he has. If the angels in heaven around the throne can keep on crying, holy, 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 how could you do that and it not be repetitive? Because God is endless. And the more you spend time with him and the more you look at him, the more you see of his greatness, the more you see of his excellence, the more you see of his holiness. This isn't religious church. How could it be? This is the real deal. And God has placed you in this place at this time because he has a plan that he has you to walk out. He is going to see you through to the end of your race. Just cling to him. Do not depart from him. Hunger for him. Thirst for him. With men, there's impossibilities, but with God, all things are possible. Ephesians 3:20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or as another translation says, I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The scriptures I just read to you right there, those are your limitations. If you want to put some limits on your life, there they are. You can take those scriptures, write them on the wall, and say, these are my limits. Because with those, you can do everything and all that God has called you to. There is no thing too great in front of you. You will remove every obstacle. You will see every enemy removed, destroyed, or bow. You will see nothing but the endless hand of God. You will see nothing but the endless hand of God, because he is on the inside of you. So all you have to do is reach out with the power he has infused with you, and you will see his work accomplished. Amen? It's time to dream big, guys. It's time to dream like a drunk. It's time to dream like the biggest drunk in the place. It's time to not only dream, but to start see the plans and the purposes carried out. You should not be in the same place 1 year from now as you are today. You should not be in the same place 1 year ago than you are, than 1 year ago than you were, to where you are now. If there is, it's time to make a change. If it is, then something needs to be adjusted. And guess what? The Holy Ghost will tell you when you ask him. A lot of the times we do not see anything because we are afraid to go to him. A lot of people, they know exactly what their problem is, so they do not approach God about that thing. They know the area where there is a weakness, so they will go to God about everything else. But they will not approach him and say, Lord, this one thing, I know you've been wanting to deal with it. Let's talk about it now. You have to be completely open before the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.